Basic question about the tzuras and mitzvah of tikkun shofar. Now, on the one hand, the din derais is pretty clear that there's very, very little that has to be blown. Three truas, each trua surrounded by two tikkias, sach hakol nine kolos. And yet, of course, we all know that we blow significantly more in Rosh Hashanah. The question is, where does that come from? What's that all about? So, the first part of this issue is a gemara that appears at the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara tells us that there was a suffix as to what is the correct trua hamor b'Torah. What does the Torah mean when it says Yom Trua Yalachem? Well, what exactly does that word mean? So the Torah Shabbat explains to us it means a yavav, it means a cry, but there are three different ways of crying. So the Gemara quotes three different possibilities. People cry in different ways. Some people cry, some people cry, some people cry, yeah, like most kids. Have you ever noticed, by the way, I met Shem, father someday, so you notice that usually there's a delayed reaction when the kid cries. If you like something happens, they fall, they hurt their foot or something, and then they don't stop crying right away. First they survey the situation and see, is there anyone around worthwhile to cry for? And if there's nobody there, then like, why waste your breath? But if the mother or the father's there, and they know if the kid cries, can get them an ice cream or something, then they really need to wind up. So that's what the Gemara says here also, that some people wind up a little bit. Then they lose it all. So those are the three kolos. One of them is what we call shvarim. Those are the three tututus. The true is what we assume is that tututututu, no higher than a very, very small, almost like whimpering. And a shvarim true is the combination of the two. So the Gemara says, we don't know which is the real true. So therefore, what do you do? So the Gemara tells us that his kin Rabbi Abo B'Kisri. Rabbi Abo was the rav in Kisri. Kisri is the city of Caesarea. The city of Kisri was really a Roman city. It was in Eretz Yisrael, it was on the coast. It was like the Roman headquarters, like Washington D.C. It was like the seat of the Roman government when the Romans were in control of Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Abo lived there because Rabbi Abo was the leader of the Jewish community, the political leader of the Jewish community also. So he was the Rav in the city of Kisri. So the Gemara says that his kin, Rabbi Abo, but Kisri, he instituted in the city of Kisri the following takona, that you have to be yaitzel choladeirs. You can't walk away from shofar without being yaitzel. You have to blow all the above. And therefore he started the practice of blowing what we call tkiyash from Shua tkiyah, we call it for short tashrat. You blow that three times, just in case that's the right one. Then you blow tekiya shvarim tekiya, we call tashat, three times. Then you blow tekiya truah tekiya, we call tarat, three times. And when you finish that, then you're good to go. And then you've been yaitze l'choladeis. So there's a big machlekes in Rishonim. What exactly Rabbi Abo was concerned with? What exactly we are concerned with? Why we're blowing so many times? So the Gemara uses the phrase that it was a suffix. But we're not sure what the right tekiyas were, what the right truahs were. So the Ran quotes from Rav Haigon a question. Those were in my shir in the morning. We spoke about a similar kind of question about tefillin. But Rav Haigon raises a question. He says, I don't understand. What did they do last year? Like, what do you mean they forgot what the truth was? What happened last year in shul? So when we spoke about that question this morning about tefillin to Rav Ben Atam, you could argue, okay, the parshas are hidden. You don't see them. Nobody opens up the tefillin here. Who wasn't in shul last year? Whatever they blew last year. Whatever it says the mach says they blew last year. It was a suffix. I don't know why went to blow. So Rav Haigon says, when the Gemara says it was a suffix, the Gemara doesn't really mean that it was a suffix, that you're not yoytze with one set versus the other set. Says Rav Haigon, the halacha b'shemisini was, yom trua yelachem, yom yavav yelachem. It has to be a day of crying. It has to mimic the sound of a cry. Says Rav Haigon, there are multiple ways of crying. You can't say one cry is more correct than the other. They're all three are valid forms of crying. And therefore, any time you form a call which sounds like a cry, which is a broken sound, that is a trua. There is no specific trua mubatara. A trua mubatara means a broken sound, sounding like a cry. And therefore, those shuls that were blowing tashrat, like I'd say, and some had the minig of blowing tashat, and some had the blowing tarat, they're all good. It's like we say, davening shpanesre. If you daven a suchsvayim, a suchashta, and temaniga, they're all yud, say. The din is you have to daven 90 brachas, and each one of the brachas has to have the theme of what the brach the chazal said, and each one has to have the chasimus of brach the chazal has to do it. You have a few words here, a few words there, a little bit more, a little bit less, so yud, say, they're all acceptable. So that's what Haigon said, even on the level of their Isa, all three truas are acceptable. So MK, why don't we blow all three? Haigon said, it wasn't that we're not yaitzeh with one or the other, but rather we want everyone to feel comfortable. And since there were different minhagim in Klai Yisrael, how to mimic this, to make the sound of a cry, we don't want that someone's going to come to shul Rosh Hashanah and the Baal Tekeh is going to get up and blow three tashats. And the guy's going to say, where I daven, they blew tarats. The guy, my zeh, they blew tashrat. we don't want to cut down on fights, Rosh Hashanah. We want to cut down on fights, hopefully the rest of the year as well. Everyone should walk away from shul feeling, I heard the Tekiah Shofar that's close to my heart. So therefore, Chazal wanted to make everybody happy, and therefore they extended the Tekiah Shofar a little bit. But push comes to shove, are you Yotze with one or the other? Yotze, anyone. Anyone of the three would be good. That's what the Rambam calls an Erev. But if you look in the Rambam doesn't sound that way at all. The Rambam, Menuch HaShofar, Bregdal HaShofar, takes the Gemara Kipshutai. That was a suffix, was a real suffix. So the Rambam poses the question, the same question that Rabbi Gom asked, how do people forget? So the Rambam writes, because there were many years where Jews weren't blowing shofar under normal circumstances. And we know that to be the case. The Mishnayos and Rosh Hashanah talk about very, very bizarre dinim about the Tekiah Shofar. The Mishnah talks about a guy's blowing inside a cave, a guy's blowing inside a barrel. There's nothing to do else in the Yom HaDin but blow inside a barrel while getting up the shul. So the Rishonim explained, because there was a Shas HaShemah, there were times when the Goyim made decrees not to blow shofar. One of the many mitzvahs that the Goyim did not like was shofar, for a very obvious reason. In the ancient world, blowing of shofar was a call to arms, it was a call for a rebellion. So they didn't like that the Jews of Rosh Hashanah would start blowing the shofar, and they thought they were revolting against the Roman Empire. So they made all kind of gezeiras that they're not allowed to blow. So the Jews used to run to the forest and blow into the caves and blow, and then they're going to the basements and blow inside barrels, all kind of crazy mashurdic things that the Goyim shouldn't hear them. So for this reason, by the way, that we blow shofar at Musaf, really we should blow shofar at Shacharis. It's the reason we're doing Musaf. Why don't we wait till 11, 12 o'clock to blow shofar? So the Gemara explains that there was a decree, you're not allowed to blow shofar in Shul and Rosh Hashanah. So people would come to shul, and the Roman police, the Roman guards would be standing at the shul, ready to arrest anybody who would blow the shofar. So they came Shacharis, can't blow shofar, came Kriyas HaTorah, blow shofar. The rabbi gave a drasha. It was already late. They started Musaf. The Roman guards, they got tired. They looked at the mach, they got another 400 pages of piyutim to go. There were no piyutim. A long way to go. Said, come on, the rabbi finished already. The kiddush already. Can finish, come on. Obviously, the Jews and I just were blowing shofar. So the Romans would leave before davening was over. Like some people leave before davening. The guards would leave. So right before the guards would leave, quickly they whip out the shofar, stop blowing the shofar quickly in Musaf. So that minhag stuck till Ad Hayom Hazeh. Blow shofar davening at the end, towards the latter part of davening, as a zecha to that idea. So you see from the Mishnahs, from the Gemaras, that the kishof was always a problem. There were always decrees against the Jews. So the Rambam writes, it's not so inconceivable that people should forget. It could be the average guy. I haven't heard shofar for 20 years. Because last year the Romans were arresting people. The year before, my grandfather was born in a cave. No one remembered it was such an upheaval to get shofar. So therefore, they really developed a real bona fide suffix what to do. So that was the machlekes of Haigon and the Rambam. An interesting machlekes of Bocham. If a person would only hear one set of Tashrat, would he really be Yaitzim in a Torah or not? So according to Haigon of Adi, Yaitzim in a Torah. And according to the Rambam, we're not so sure Yaitzim in a Torah, unless you hear it all three. But for us, it doesn't make a difference. We're going to blow all three anyway. No shout about it, we're going to blow all three. When we blow all three, so one of the three that we blow is a Tashrat. So Tashrat is a little bit of a tricky one, because the Tashrat, the true is almost like a combination of two sounds. It's a Shvarim and a true rolled into one. So there was a big machlekes in Rishonim as to what that Shvarim true is supposed to sound like. So there was some Rishonim who said that the Shvarim true is supposed to be one call. It's basically one sound. It's one true. That is the true of Morbatar, according to some. And therefore, it should be a straight call in the sense of, it should sound like this. Do, 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 do. That's the standard. That's probably most of you have heard, Shvarim Teruah. There was another version of Shvarim Teruah, which is Rabbeinu Tam's version. Take a breath in the middle. It's called Beis Neshimas. Why is that? Rabbeinu Tam says that Shvarim Teruah are really two kolos. The two kolos that are combined into one are the two kolos. And it's normal when a person cries in such a way, he catches his breath in the middle. He doesn't just go right into a whimper. He winds up a little bit more, catches his breath. So therefore, Rabbeinu Tam said, the more correct way of doing it is what we call Beis Neshimas. So there were different minhagim in different communities in Europe, how to blow Shvarim Teruahs. Do you blow Shvarim Teruah in Neshima Achas? That's what many Rishonim held. But do you blow it in Beis Neshimas like Rabbeinu Tam? So even though there were different communities, different minhagim in Europe, what most communities today do is, they do what's called Neshima Achas. Most shuls blow it as one, but what many shuls do is, at a certain point in the davening, some do it during Mitzvah Shat, some do it after davening, that they blow another three sets just to be, quote-unquote, Yotzer Benetam, just to make a Benetam, suffice a Benetam Shita. It's like a Benetam film. One last push for a Benetam. So many shuls do that during Musaf, many shuls do it after Musaf. Again, Chilukim and Hagam about that. But a Chol Panim, everyone agrees that the Seyed HaDvarim with Tekiah Shofar is, is three tashrats, three tashats, three tarats. That's what we do practically today. So that still doesn't explain why we're blowing so many kailas. Where did the rest of the kailas come from? So comes the Gemara, the first parak of Rosh Hashanah, and tells us that although min haTorah, you only have to blow one set, whatever that one set is, we're not sure what the one set is, but mid the Rabbanon, you have to blow twice. You have to blow what's called Tkiyas de Meyushav and Tkiyas de Meumad. The Tkiyas de Meyushav, according to most opinions, are the Tkiyas that we blow before Musaf. The reason why they're called the Meyushav is because you could technically sit for them. Our custom is, look, cover the Tkiyas, we stand up. We don't really have to. So since the Tkiyas can be heard, technically speaking, sitting down, they're called Tkiyas de Meyushav. The second Tkiyas are the Tkiyas that are blown, I'll say they're brachas. They're blown at each part of the middle brachas in Shmanesu of Musaf. There are different minhagim. Some blow it only during Chazas Hashatz. Some shuls, the Sfar, blows it both in the Sanj, Shmanesu, and during Chazas Hashatz. But no matter what you do in terms of that, it doesn't really matter. Those are called Tkiyas de Meumad. Why are they called the Meumad? Because they're part of Tefillah, because in the middle of davening, so Shmanesu, or the Chazan Shmanesu, everyone's standing, whatever it is, those are the Tkiyas de Meumad. So the Gemara says that you have to blow both sets. Everything you blew before Musaf, as the Tkiyas de Meyushav, then you go ahead and you blow it again, Tkiyas de Meumad. So the Gemara says, what do you do that for? What are you wasting your time and your breath blowing so many Tkiyas for? You're already yitzing. Lama token kishem yoshu, lama token kishem omdim. What do you have to blow two sets for? So the Gemara gives a very, very cryptic answer. And remember what the Gemara says? Why is it? Kidil arvas a satan, to confuse the satan. So I'm confused. I'm not the satan. I'm also confused. Well, what does that mean exactly? What's the purpose? What exactly are you accomplishing? He says, Machlek is Rashi and Taisus. What do the words mean, Larvis and Sultan? So Rashi says, Larvis and Sultan means that we want to show, so to speak, that we really, really love doing mitzvahs. That not only do we blow the shofar what we're supposed to, we even go above and beyond the call of duty. So we blow extra to show, Azach Habibus, Azach Hidr, Azach Habibus, a mitzvahs. So that's somehow like, you know, in the Yom HaDin, when Shemayim, when Kadosh Baruch Hu is being judging us, and the Sultan, yeah, whatever shape or form that means, the Sultan, when there's a kitchen against the Jewish people, when there's someone trying to say bad things about us, so Kadosh Baruch Hu looks down and says, look at my beloved children. They love it, and they can never stop. I told them all they have to blow is 9 times, and they're going above and beyond the call of duty. That's what Larvis has happened, to show Achimim Samitzvahs. So Tosfos quotes another pshat, a very, very fascinating pshat. Tosfos quotes a pshat that Larvis has something as follows. When the Jewish people blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah, so in Shemayim, so again, whatever the term Sultan means, so the Sultan hears that shofar, and he says, okay, so the Jews are blowing shofar, whoop-de-doo, I'm not out of business. The Jews eat matzah on Pesach, they shake luluf on Sukkot, they sing the Sukkot, they do a lot of mitzvahs, so they blow the shofar, big deal. So they're done. They finish doing the mitzvah. And all of a sudden, an hour later, all of a sudden they're blowing a second time. So wait a second, they blew already. What are they doing? What's going on? So he remembers, oh my goodness gracious, there's another time there's going to be a tekiah shofar in history that's going to put me out of business. What is that? So, it must be that it's not the case of Rosh Hashanah. They already ate an hour ago. It must be Mashiach's on the way. Mashiach's on the way. I'm out of a job. So the son gets all frazzled. He's all flogging. He can't. Now he's trying to put his papers together, you know, he's the prosecutor. So he's trying to say bad things about Klal Yisrael. He's all flustering. He can't find his papers. He's all tzimish. He's all flogging because he thinks that he's going to be bumped out once Mashiach comes. That's what Arvus HaSotah means. You would think after a year or two the Sultan would catch on that the whole thing is a sham, but I guess that's maybe a new Sultan every year, whatever it is, whatever the answer to that question is. So the bottom line is, with the Rabbanan, we have to blow, in a sense, twice. So we blow once, first time around, and then we blow a second time. The second time is Larvis HaSultan. So there's a famous question that we should have asked, that why are we even allowed to blow a second time? What does that smack of? Isn't that Nisr Deraisa Baltosif? You know, if you would add on a fifth bias to your tefillin, that's baltosif. If you take a fifth min to your lulav, that's baltosif. So what do you mean we're trying to blow extra? What happened to baltosif? Is that a question?
Isn't it music once you pass your chiyuv?
Well, that's another question. You're asking a secondary question. Isn't it the rabbanan making music? That's the Taz's kasha. That's another kasha. But even more powerful kasha is on the level of the Raisa. Why isn't that called the violation of baltosif? So Tosis writes on the spot, that's not called Baltosif, because Baltosif means when you change a mitzvah. So instead of wearing 4 batim, you wear 5 batim. Instead of shaking 4 minim, take 5 minim. When you just simply repeat a mitzvah multiple times, that's not Baltosif. So Tosis writes, let's say for example, eat a kezayis matzah, and then eat another kezayis. Another, it's Baltosif. It's a joke, it's not Baltosif. You just keep on, that's called repetition of a mitzvah, that's not called Baltosif. So Tosis writes, if you just keep on blowing over and over the same story over again, that's not called Baltosif. So the Rashba quotes a second answer. Not saying that we disagree with the first answer, but he quotes a second answer discussion. Rashi says, That Bal Tosef means when an individual is Maisif al mitzvah. I decide on my own, I'm going to add another bias to my tefillin. Or I decide on my own, I'm going to add more colors to the shofar. That's not what's happening. You hear Chazal and Misakin. So whenever Chazal and Misakin somebody, that's not called Bal Tosef. That's the opposite. You have to listen to what the Chachamim say. So whenever the Chacham institutes something, that's by definition not called Bal Tosef. So again, either according to Taisa's reason or according to Rashba's reason, we are justified in blowing extra. We're okay. We don't have to worry. We don't have to feel guilty and bad about blowing extra. We're not in violation of Taisiv. Why are we blowing extra? What exactly was the din deraisa? One set. What exactly does that mean? Does that mean any of the three permutations? Or you have to have all three, the Raman, Rav Haigon? So up until now, we have a pretty good idea as to what the mitzvah deraisa's kishofer is, what the added component of the mitzvah derabanan is. But we still have a little bit more to fine tune off of Mitzvah Shem on Wednesday. The next year, we're going to put together everything we spoke about now and see how does this play out for us, Tachlis, L'maisa. What are we doing in Achazos HaShatz, Rinesh, Pran Esrei? How are we actually blowing in terms of being Yotze, the Deraisa, the Rabban, the whole picture, Hakam Mikol Golfer? That's Shem on Wednesday. We'll try to put some of the final touches on the mitzvah of Tekeshuv.